May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts and minds together be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We have today another brief portion from Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica. I believe they founded the churches of the New Testament specifically to challenge those of us in the 21st century to pronounce cities like Thessalonica. It's an interesting piece of text that we have. It comes from what is the oldest known text of the New Testament. If we arrange the books of the New Testament in date order, first of all, we'd have to make a lot of guesses. But second of all, 1 Thessalonians would indeed be first. And what is it? It's a letter to a church that Paul has founded. He is their pastor, although now out riding the circuit. That's a little familiar to Trinity's history. And it is a response to a letter that they sent him. History has lost the letter that they sent, but if you read it, it's clear he's responding to some things. And he gets to those issues and those questions in the paragraphs not too far after what we heard today. But first, he begins his letter by saying, "Grace to you and peace in our Lord Jesus Christ." He greets them warmly. First, he reminds them what they were taught and by whom and how those apostles came among them and how they behaved. He first encourages them in their faith. And most importantly, he first reminds them of his, of the apostles, and of God's deep and abiding love for them. So if this is the earliest root of Christian community of which we have a written record, what does it say to us, the inheritors, the outgrowth of that early root? What does it say to us today? Well, first of all, he makes two rather quick points that are important to notice. One, that this is to be a bold community. Paul writes, "We have courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition." Paul is writing from prison where he is being persecuted for proclaiming Jesus. And that doesn't stop him from having courage and boldly proclaiming the gospel. This nascent group of Christians in Thessalonica is doing everything against their culture. They are not an accepted or privileged group among the society. They are not the dominant culture by far, and they are absolutely not supported by the laws and government of that place at that time. But none of that has stopped them from being a community. And none of that has stopped Paul and all the others from sharing the gospel of love. Instead of shrinking back in fear, they are building up their community of faith, seeking out this itinerant pastor to ask him how to do it better. A Christian community then and now is a bold community. A Christian community is a community whose aim is to please God. Paul writes, "We speak not to please mortals, but to please God who tests our hearts." Being followers of Jesus Christ in Thessalonica, when this letter was written, is not going to get any of that group into the best clubs, schools, groups in their town. In fact, it will probably get them kicked out of them. This is a big and important city in the ancient world. a cosmopolitan center of trade where Roman citizenship is the coin of the realm. To be a follower of the way of Jesus Christ had real personal and economic cost associated with it. But what Paul tells them is being tested, is not their bank accounts and not their employment status, but what Paul tells them is being tested is their hearts. Christian community then and now seeks to please God and is willing to let go of cultural approval. And finally, and I would say most importantly, and where Paul writes eloquently in this and so many others of his writings, Christian community is a community rooted and grounded in love. Not some sappy greeting card Valentine's Day version of love, not a noun love, but the verb love. A deep, tested and abiding, joy-filled love. Several years ago, Eugene Peterson, a wonderful New Testament and pastoral theology scholar, published a new translation of the Bible called The Message. The Message is written in contemporary English, but it is not an adaptation. It is a translation. That's an important point for scholars of the Bible. So of the last few lines of the text that from 1 Thessalonians we had today, The Message translates it this way. Even though we had some standing as Christ's apostles, we never threw our weight around or tried to come off as important with you or anyone else. We weren't aloof with you. We took you just as you were. We were never patronizing, never condescending, but we cared for you in the way a mother cares for her children. We loved you dearly. Not content to just pass on the message, we wanted to give you our hearts, and we did. Ultimately, Paul's most persuasive argument, his best appeal to his friends in Jesus, is to do as Jesus does. We love you dearly. We give you our hearts. Now, Moses heard God say, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus answered the Pharisees with that wonderful text that if you're at a right one service at 8 o'clock in the morning here and elsewhere you hear every Sunday, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. As the old song says, light of the world, shine on me. Love is the answer. Love is the very heart, the very pulse and life beat of Christian community and Christian life. Without it, I would argue that in fact there is no community. Without that deep and abiding love of Jesus Christ, what we have is a bunch of well-intentioned individuals who show up in the same place at the same time and do the same things, but who do not form a community. Love is what makes this place and any Christian community different from everywhere else. A tough love, yes, that calls us to account for our misdoings and challenges us to repentance and conversion of life. A strong love that stands up for the weak and the oppressed, the lonely, and stands up for and with the least popular members of society. Fiery love, that refiner's fire that burns away our carefully crafted facade and pretense, a compassionate love that wraps you up in the love of God and the love of one another, that wraps all of us in grace, mercy, peace, and joy of our Lord. So we have today an ancient piece of writing, not quite 2,000 years old. And it speaks to us right here, right now, and makes a difference in our lives today. This correspondence between pastor and people matters. Because the truth that Paul proclaimed is the truth that we proclaim. That Jesus Christ was born as one of us, fully human and fully divine. That Jesus lived and taught and walked and ate as one of us. That Jesus was beaten, tortured, crucified, and died for us. And that Jesus Christ rose again in the resurrection of new life to give us new and unending life. This community is founded on exactly the same message, the same principles, in the same context of Paul's church at Thessalonica. We are God's people today, living out the life of the gospel in this place today. This nearly 2,000-year-old letter is addressed to us, and we are blessed by its content and joyfully challenged to live it out. To those who are gathered here today, and to those whom we meet along the way, wherever we go, we are challenged to carry the message of God's love. The Christian community, this and all Christian communities, are commissioned and sent out to proclaim to the world unabashedly, clearly, through our words and more importantly in our actions, we love you dearly, and we give you our hearts. Amen.